and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
This is Lawless Scotland, and you're listening to the Ralph Williams Podcast.
Oh, here we go, Ralph.
Ralph Williams came in.
Hey, Ralph, people.
Yo, it's all fucking amateur works here all day.
Nothing is real if you don't believe in who you are. I don't believe in myself no more, don't you understand? What if I don't believe? That's it. He's finished. It's over. That's it.
Yes, everybody, it's the sounds of that mind game. You've been listening to the sounds of Mr. Ralph Williams. Keep it locked. Pressure makes him die.
What is going on, everybody? Thank you for joining the Ralph Williams Podcast here on Podbean. But it is not live. It is a pre-recorded. So thank you very much for clicking and listening to my podcast. If you are hearing this on a different platform, please do me the favor and share, subscribe, give me a good review, depending on where you're listening this to. You can find me on Twitter at The Ralph William on Twitter. The Discord server link is in the description box below. Everything that I'm going to be talking about is in the description box below. And of course, the rules. If you've ever been to my show, you know there's rules if you want to be a caller. But other than that, I do a morning show on Podbean Live. So click the affiliate link below if you want to have your own account and let your voice be heard. Download the Podbean app and come and join us in the chat, or make your own podcast. Voice your opinions. Voice the information that is being censored out there in the world. And do your part, because things are getting crazy. This is going to be the theme for this episode anyway. Is that I'm going to try and talk about things that they're not being talked about in terms of the vaccines. So, but before I get there, if anybody has been is familiar with Lynn Wood, and I'm sure a lot of people are, there is a podcast that I've been lucky enough to grab, interview with him. And the link is in the description box below. But I took a couple of excerpts from that interview. Of course, it's a great interview, great content on there. But I really wanted to make sure that I push this information out. And I know the my followers are probably way different than their followers. But I figured the more people with the same message spreading, the better it is for everybody else. So what I want to do now is play some excerpts from that interview. And I do have other audio that I want to play in terms of other doctors giving out another side of information that has to do with your COVID-19 vaccines and COVID in general. So thank you, everybody, for joining and clicking. And I hope you enjoy, you know, the content today.
Now, again, I don't represent President Trump. I'm not an advisor. I don't have any special information, but I get bits and pieces. I look at the law. I apply common sense. I believe history repeats itself. And I try to analyze what makes sense of this situation. Because most people look at it and it looks like nonsense. It's like chaos. But I try to find what could be the plan. Because I know that God has a plan. He knows the future. He created a plan from the beginning of mankind until the end of mankind. things in the past where I was wrong on my timing. Probably should have kept the timing out of it because only God knows his timing. But I've seen and felt and discerned things, and I think you're going to look back at my track record and find that I'm pretty.
Now, he was asked a question like, what are we to expect for the next 30, 60, 90 days? Now, this might be a little far-fetched, but this is just his prediction.
Accurate. I believe that February is going to be a month of revelation. I believe that March is going to be a month of resolution. I think over the next 30 days or so, we're going to begin to learn what we do not know, some of it we have been treated to a lie from the fake media. We had a fake media. We had a fake Democratic nomination. They rigged the machines to get Biden, a puppet, nominated. We had a fake campaign. Biden never campaigned. We had a fake election. We had a fake inauguration. And right now, we have a fake president. I don't believe the military is talking to Joe Biden. I don't think he has access to the Pentagon, because I'm familiar with the fact that this country passed laws in the early 50s when Joe McCarthy was investigating communism, which it was there in our country then, and it has taken us over now without firing a shot. But under the Constitution and the laws passed pursuant to it, if the military, not Donald Trump, not Sidney Powell, not Lynn Wood, if the military has evidence that a illegal takeover of our government has occurred under the law of this country, the military takes control of this country. Not Donald Trump, not Joe Biden, not General Flynn, not Lynn Wood, not Sidney Powell, not Clay Clark. The military has a sworn duty to protect and defend our Constitution, and to protect and defend we the people. They do their duty.
Now,
so I believe the military has solid information, and they've had it for some time, about what exactly the results of our election in November the 3rd was. And they've waited to find out who all was involved. They're trying to quell down any potential civil unrest when the truth comes out. So I believe that the military is in charge of our country. I believe that will be revealed in due time. And I believe that by the time we get into March, I hope, Donald Trump will be sworn in as the 19th president of the United States of America, the Republic. That's another story for another day, perhaps. But I will.
Now, that's a little far-fetched for Lynn Wood. Now, he claims that he is of, what is it, right mind, or whatever it is, the saying is, that he's good in the head. He's not going crazy. It's wishful thinking, to be honest with you. But who knows? Because some of the things that are going on here is really the turning point of what America used to be. Now, whether you're a quote-unquote progressive, liberal, left, you know, socialist, Democrat, whatever the hell that side is calling themselves, is starting to look a lot like every other country right now. But there might be some good, you know, things with that, but in the long scheme of things, if you look at the track record, if you look at my previous podcast when I played some clips from Dinesh D'Souza, and you can pick up his book called United States of Socialism, he gives a lot of points that socialism has been tried 25 plus times throughout our history, maybe not here in the United States, but all across the world. And every time it has failed, every time it has been corrupted, and the people that get the bad brunt of it is, you know, the citizens. And this is something that we don't want. I don't want that to happen to our country.
Tell you that I've said from day one that I've never wavered that Donald Trump would be the president of the United States for four more years. He won a record landslide victory. The idea that Biden won is a lie. A lie is not going to prevail over the truth. The truth is that Trump won. The truth is that Trump is our president, and he's going to be our president for four more years. I've never wavered on it. Now, I think I'm going to be proven right in time.
Now, speaking of...
Now, I know that... I don't know. I just wanted to... I wanted to open with that, but the main focus of this episode is on the vaccine, the COVID-19 virus, the CCP virus, whichever way you want to call it. But I just wanted to play that in so that people would know where, you know, this guy is coming from, Lynn Wood. And he's an optimist, and I agree, and I'm glad that someone's an optimist out there, because the way that we're going, it's very, you know, it may seem right to some people, but in the long run, it's not the way that I want this country to go.
Your medical background.
Yeah, Lynn, thank you so much for honoring God in your work. I try to do the same in everything that I do. I took an oath to serve and protect this country in 1983, 84, when I was a member of the United States Military Academy as a kid. The second oath, do no harm as a medical doctor. And I stand, you know, and rise today because I see so much harm being perpetrated by the medical establishment today. I think that we are dealing with a Chinese virus that was weaponized in a lab in Wuhan, China. I believe that Anthony Fauci participated in the illegal funding of that gain-of-function research that produced this virus and probably many more. I believe that Bill Gates participated in the funding of that same laboratory. And then I think that virus was unleashed on the world, particularly on the United States, and it was used as part of the cover that is being, you know, perpetrated on the American people.
Dr. Jim, everything you just said, if anybody will just literally just email right now, just email the word truth, just on the subject line, truth, to theclayclark@protonmail.com, theclayclark@protonmail.com. I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Dr. Fauci did, in fact, fund the laboratory that created the Wuhan virus.
Right.
So I want to get your take on this, and then I want to tie it back to Lynn here. Right. Jeffrey Epstein was convicted as the world's most prolific pedophile. Everybody knows the name Jeffrey Epstein. Many have seen the documentary. Everybody knows that. Bill Gates chose to become friends with Jeffrey Epstein after his conviction of being a pedophile. So
right.
Jeffrey Epstein was first convicted of being a pedophile. Then he became friends with Bill Gates. We have irrefutable proof that Bill Gates has spent the night with Jeffrey Epstein at one of his properties. And Bill Gates is the man who's making the COVID-19 vaccines.
Yeah.
From your perspective as a doctor, then I want to get Lynn's take, as a doctor, should anybody out there listening take the COVID-19 vaccines?
Well, no. I have a very difficult time. I have so many problems with this vaccine platform. mRNA vaccines are a never-before-tried experimental platform, and the human population is literally being used as guinea pigs to vet this vaccine. And so far, it's not turning out well. Early results are this is a much more adverse event-laden vaccine. And we haven't even begun to explore what the long-term effects will be. But I'm very concerned that this, you know, that medicine has been weaponized, that we have all been, we're all like test subjects in a Milgram experiment where we're just following authority.
As a Christian, I'm asking you this question, Dr. Jim Meehan. Is there fetal?
Now, I'm trying to make it as non-secular. I guess that's the right way of saying it. But they're coming at it from, you know, a Christian point of view, which I get, but there are some other factors to look into.
Tissue, as a Christian doctor, is there a fetal cell line? Is there fetal tissue derived, some sort of cell line? Is there any type of fetal tissue in those COVID-19 vaccines?
Well, until we have the full disclosure and transparency as to what's in these vaccines, which we don't have, we're getting science by press release by Pfizer and Moderna. We don't know for sure, but I will tell you that many of the vaccines that we have in the children in the CDC recommended childhood vaccine schedule have large amounts of DNA microfragments and residual cellular proteins from fetal cell lines.
So you would not take the vaccine?
I would not take the vaccine.
Okay, so
I wouldn't recommend it to any of my patients because, again, we are forcing and trying to mandate a vaccine for which we cannot say it's safe and effective. In fact, we can't even say that it prevents infection or prevents transmission.
So, Lynn, as an attorney, as a discerning person, as a Christian, do you have concerns about the COVID-19 vaccines?
Yes, but let me say this to Jim. Thank you for your service in the military, and thank you for your service to the country as a medical doctor. Before I got involved in kind of focusing in the area of defamation, I spent almost 2 decades doing medical negligence work. I never tried to bring a case unless I thought it was a legitimate case where the standard of care had been violated. So I got the benefit of a lot of medical information because I handle a lot of variety of cases. So I look at this vaccine, and I would say if I were talking to a doctor and trying to give him some legal advice, you better dead gum sure make positive that you give your patients a detailed, informed consent.
Amen.
Before they take it. What I would say is, from a more broad perspective, take a look at Henry Kissinger, open the door to China. Henry Kissinger publicly espouses the theory of depopulation, the idea that we want to reduce the number of people to into a manageable working servant class to serve the elites. Guess who else pushes depopulation? Bill Gates. It's public. He admits it. So what is Bill Gates doing? He has no medical training. He has no medical degree, but yet he holds himself out as an expert on vaccines. What's he really trying to accomplish? Is he trying to keep?
And just to let you know, I had another clip that I wanted to play, but I can't find it now. But it does bring back in the past where Bill Gates was tried for some shenanigans with Microsoft. And there was a clip where they were showing a video of him being questioned, and he looked very nervous. And second part of that video, of the clip, when he was either taken away after the court date, someone pegged him with, like, I don't know what it was, like a fruit or something. I don't know. So, and then ever since then, it seems like he's been like on the PR path to try and change his image as a philanthropist, but in the long run, it just seems like another money scheme to get money from vaccines. And just like he was hit with invasion of privacy with Microsoft, it seems like he's going to try and do that with your physical body with these vaccines. Just my opinion. Just saying.
Keep people alive. Or is he trying to further his stated goal of depopulation? I had some contacts as it relates to Jeffrey Epstein. I think it's a fair statement that Jeffrey Epstein was involved on his island and other places in some type of DNA work. I know that he had birthing stations on that island. I don't know why, but one can simply look and see why he might have had them. I don't know what went on between Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein. I have some concerns, but I know that when it was outed that Gates had an extensive relationship with him, the Gates Foundation issued a statement saying Mr. Gates only met with Mr. Epstein to get charitable donations. Now, wait a minute. Why would you go get a charitable donation when you got all the billions of dollars that Gates has got from a man who was an admitted person involved in pedophilia? Why would you travel on his private jet, the Lolita Express, 6 times when you've got probably, I don't know how many private jets Bill Gates has, but I know he's got at least one. Why would you go on Jeffrey Epstein's plane? And then why would you try to say that you only dealt with him on charitable donations? I don't believe that. I believe that the investigation of Bill Gates needs to take place. I think we need to know about what he did at Jeffrey Epstein's island, the details of his relationship, just like we need to know the details of the relationship that any person had with Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was not a good person. I've had information that says he's still alive. We'll see if that turns out to be true or not. But I believe the evidence through Gillian Maxwell and others is going to come out about what happened in that island, about what Jeffrey Epstein was really up to, and how people like Bill Gates were involved in it. So I call the vaccine from Pfizer, look into Pfizer's ties to China. I'd call it the China vaccine. Moderna, that's Bill Gates. I'd call that the Bill Gates vaccine. I'm not taking a vaccine that's China related, and I'm not taking a vaccine that is related to Bill Gates. I would caution people, and I have this from a medical doctor that I talked to 2 days ago. There are a large number of people that have taken that vaccine that have suffered Bell's palsy, but it's not being reported because it's not allowed to be reported as a complication or side effect from the vaccine. But I've seen videos of people with palsy. We don't really know the extent of the palsy. We don't really, I believe, know the extent of deaths that have occurred. Wow. But common sense tells me this. That vaccine was rushed through. It did not go through the normal channels of investigation and research and what we normally would do to make sure that to the extent possible it's safe. They rushed it through under an emergency situation because they claimed that they couldn't have and didn't have an effective treatment available for COVID. That was a lie. Hydroxychloroquine was an effective and is an effective treatment for COVID. So why did they try to censor everybody talking about hydroxychloroquine like Dr. Simone Gold, a frontline doctor? Right. Why were they censored? Why was hydroxychloroquine articles taken off the internet?
Yep.
Because they didn't want you to know the truth that it was effective, because then they couldn't have rushed through the vaccine. The simple fact of the matter is somebody's up to no good with this vaccine. And from a lawyer's perspective, which I'm not a doctor, but if a friend asked me, I'd say based on my knowledge of what I've investigated and learned as a lawyer, I wouldn't get within missile range of that vaccine, especially when there are effective treatments that are at least safe and inexpensive that should always be tried before you would ever move to what amounts to still an experimental vaccine. Does that answer your question?
And I'm going to be playing some clips later on where they say what are some good treatments for COVID, and if you don't have insurance, it's still somewhat affordable. It's around like $200-$300 or whatever for this treatment that you can get. So as we move along in today's episode, you'll hear you'll hear what they are. It's several.
Have to get the vaccine for my job. I have to get the vaccine if I am going to do certain things.
Board a plane.
If I'm gonna board a plane. And so I'm hearing people saying that they have to get this. So my question is a legal question to you is, if there are companies, I get it. If they're a private company, then they may be able to say, this is how we're gonna do things. And if you want to work for us, you have to do it. But is there any move, is there any reconciliation for people that don't want to have the vaccination, but don't have a choice because they have to keep their job? I mean, it'd be easy enough for me to say, well, just quit your job and go do something else.
Yeah,
but
just go sell snow cones.
Yeah, exactly.
See, it's so easy.
Yeah,
it's
just
easy.
Go just do
stop
it.
Stop your
yes,
job as a dentist
but,
or a doctor and
but
go sell snow cones.
That just doesn't work for somebody to just quit their job. So is there anything on a legal on a legal level that people can do if their job, if their boss is forcing them to get a vaccine?
All right, well, you're Clay too, and I heard.
I know, man. Don't get us screwed up now.
I want to thank you for your service as a school teacher. I hope we get the school teachers to start teaching the truth about America.
That is real. Yeah.
Saying America's bad. So let me get that in. Thank you for your service to the children of this world. Now,
my pleasure.
I have looked into generally because of Twitter, primarily this idea that I'm a private company and I can do whatever I want to. That's arrant nonsense. If that private company is engaged in interstate commerce, and almost every one of them is. They are subject to the laws of the Constitution of the United States of America.
This is good.
They cannot violate your constitutional rights. Nobody in this country under our Constitution can be forced to take a medical treatment unless there are some extraordinary circumstances that I don't know about. There are no exceptions to the Constitution. The idea that there's a pandemic, which I think is a plandemic, the idea that there's a COVID plandemic, there's no exceptions to your constitutional rights in the Bill of Rights. They apply right down the board in all circumstances at all times. So people can make a choice. If you want to take the vaccine to fly or to keep your job, that's fine. If they put a gun in your hand and said you got to shoot yourself in order to keep your job, would you shoot yourself to keep your job? You got to have priorities. I believe that there will be litigation at some point in the near future. Not for me, because I'm busy and I'm trying to retire, although I might be willing to help out. I believe that the constitutional rights of our citizens have been grossly violated. They can't make you take a vaccine. They cannot make you wear a mask. They cannot make you stand any distance apart from another one of your citizens. They can't tell you how many people can be in your house. They can't tell you how many people can be in your church. They can't tell you when you can assemble with people. They cannot tell you how you actually get treated for any type of flu
this is great to hear.
China virus. So I think that our constitutional rights have been violated. People can be I believe there's preferential people and there's principled people.
So those are some things to look into, guys. You should brush up on your, you know, civil liberties. There are some things that you have some say about.
Do you too, gentlemen, as we wrap up this segment of the show, it's an extended show today. We're getting a lot of doctors on the show to share about the vaccines. Dr. Rob Marsh, do you believe as a medical doctor that the people out there listening right now should take the COVID-19 vaccines?
No, they have freedom of choice and they shouldn't take it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is very concerned about somebody taking the vaccine and a 1 is not concerned at all, how concerned are you? How concerned should people be about taking these vaccines?
I'd be about 50.
Out of 1 to 10, you're saying 50.
Yeah, I go 50.
That's a large number. Okay, Dr. Jim Meehan.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is like, wow, you should not take the vaccine, and a 1 is, it's pretty safe. How worried should people be about taking these COVID-19 vaccines?
Well, until proven otherwise, it's a 10 for me. It's a big 10. And Rob's not wrong in saying maybe 50, because this could be a depopulation event. Let's never forget that the coronavirus vaccine, wow, when it was tested in SARS-CoV-1 in 2003-2005, vaccinated animals died at an extremely greater, much greater rate than the unvaccinated animals when they encountered the wild-type virus. And we won't know what will happen to the humans in this grand experiment, whether they will develop that antibody-dependent enhancement, that enhanced respiratory disease that the vaccinated animals developed in 2003 and 2005. We could be looking at a depopulation event. So that could be a 50 on your scale of 1 to 10.
What's your website there, Dr. Jim Meehan?
It's meehanmd.com.
And if anybody wants the facts of what's included in the COVID-19 vaccines or anything we discussed on today's show, please send an email to the subject line truth, right? Put on the subject line truth. Send that to theclayclark@protonmail.com, or as a backup plan, a strong backup plan, not the backup plan that's ideal, because I am personally texting you back at this point. You can text my cell phone number at 918-851-6920. Lynn, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Lynn.
What's your final word?
So that's just one of the doctors. There's plenty of more doctors, and there's a lot of doctors out there that are being silenced because of this.
We'll know that you are, in fact, not psychologically impaired.
Well, are those two things equal? Your bio and not psychologically impaired?
Well, you know, that's what you want to do. That's what the mainstream media does. They want to discredit anybody who is saying something opposite of the collective corporate narrative.
Yeah. So, well, I'm a board-certified physician. I was director of a level 2 trauma center and a community emergency department for 12 years. That was my first career. And then my second career is I moved to Cleveland, Ohio in 1996, which is where I'm located now. I started an integrative medicine clinic here, which I'm always proud to say people have come from all 50 states and about 18 foreign countries to get well and off their pharmaceutical drugs. We have a staff of about 13 people, so it's a pretty busy place. I still see patients 2 days a week in the office. In September of 2000, I went to the National Vaccine Information Center meeting in Washington, D.C., and sat through 4 days of a meeting, listened to scientists and researchers and lawyers and doctors and parents of vaccine-injured children. And this was September of 2000. And I said, how did I kind of miss this in my career? I grew up in a chiropractic family. I was not vaccinated as a child. I had the age-appropriate measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, pertussis, all of those things. I think that's why I'm as healthy as I am as an almost 63-year-old adult. And when I came home from that meeting, I said, maybe I ought to look into this. Well, the maybe ought to look into it has turned into 20 years and more than 40,000 hours of research documenting and the problems associated with vaccines. I've accumulated a personal library, which all of you have free access to. You just have to register of more than 17,000 links to abstracts and full text articles showing problems associated with vaccines. So it's not a one-off anomaly. Vaccines are not safe. They don't keep you from getting sick. They're not necessary, and they definitely cause harm. And this COVID-19 vaccine is going to be the top of the list of all of those things.
Now, what I'm going to do, if I can, I'm going to go kind of a speed racer mode through a bunch of questions, and then we'll allow you some time to really unpack what you're sharing here, because you have such a wealth of knowledge. First off, again, what kind of doctor are you?
I'm an osteopathic physician. Now, for those of you that are listening from an international location, which I'm sure you've got a global reach, American-trained osteopathic physicians, American-trained, are trained as an MD, as a medical doctor, but they're also trained in musculoskeletal medicine, very similar to a chiropractor.
Got it.
So osteopathic physicians in the U.S. can be neurosurgeons, they can be obstetricians, they can be pediatricians. They have the same credentials, the same training as an MD, but I think of us as value added because we've also got training in musculoskeletal medicine. Now, I know internationally, osteopaths are in some countries kind of less than massage therapists, but that's not the case in America. American-trained osteopathic physicians are MDs on steroids.
Well, I'm going to interview, just so you know, on part one of today's show, we interviewed Lynn Wood, and he's sharing a lot of stuff that's going on. On part two, we're interviewing you, and then on part three.
So this Dr. Sherry Limpati, you'll find it in the description box below, has a lot of information to talk about with this whole COVID vaccine.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10.
Absolutely not.
On a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is dangerous, very worrisome, maybe you'd say, wow, that is scary. And a 1 is not scary at all. How scary are the COVID-19 vaccines?
About a 25.
Why are the COVID-19 vaccines so scary?
Do you want the short answer or the long answer?
I'm going to go short answer, and then we'll come back with a longer. I'm just, because I know a lot of our listeners are sharing this with their kids and their family. And I just want to fire through a bunch of things, and then we're going to unpack it.
Okay. So what makes them so dangerous? This is a unique vaccine that's never been used on humans before. When they did animal testing from 2002 all the way up to the present, all the animals got extremely sick or died. They have never been able to move this vaccine out of animal trials into human trials because of the lack of safety. So it's a completely experimental technology, I wouldn't even call it a vaccine, an experimental technology that's being injected into humans with no clinical trials on animals and no long-term studies at all to know what the long-term consequences are of this foreign matter being injected into your body.
Now, what I'm doing on the show notes to make your life 107% easier and my life 107% easier, I've spent north of 40 hours gathering all of the...
So, of course, you can find out what that is, but there's more explanation on the way, guys. There's more explanation on the way. But before we move on, I just want to say I hope you guys are enjoying this, these clips. I try to put this information out there so that I'm an extra, an extra person putting out this information, because a lot of this information you're not going to hear, and it's going to be blocked, or it's going to be, not pushed out there. So if you can, share this episode. If not, just go to the show notes and share my sources so that other people can see it. This isn't, you're not, don't be subject to what they're saying, okay? Just saying.
Are there any fetal tissue cell lines in the actual vaccines?
Yeah, they use cells from adult kidneys cells. So I believe it's HEK, and then there's a number after it. And that is a designation for a cell line that comes from an aborted fetal tissue. Not an adult, I misspoke, from a male fetal tissue.
And again, what's that called?
I believe it's HEK, and then there's a number after it.
Got it.
I don't, 237 or something. That may not be accurate, but it's got those letters, and then there's a number after it, and that's the designation of a particular cell line that has been extracted from human aborted fetal tissue.
Now, Bill Gates, the man who started Microsoft, Bill Gates, the man who built a monopoly with his computer company through various practices that caused him to actually be at one point heavily investigated for having monopolies and doing a lot of things. And we can get into that later. But Bill Gates is a man who's a big fan of depopulation, a man who speaks openly about depopulation, and a man who is passionate that everybody in America should take these vaccines. Why is Bill Gates passionate about everybody taking these vaccines?
Well, I think you just defined it. You know, it is a depopulation agenda. It's going to make people either terribly sick or people are going to die. I mean, we're already seeing hundreds, if not thousands, of elderly people around the world who've already died. We have report in the U.S., we had a report that came out on January the 15th, so a few weeks ago, that as of January the 15th, there were 181 deaths reported to the vaccine adverse event reporting system. It's been estimated that less than 10% of adverse events actually get reported to that FDA monitored database. And we already had 181 deaths, maybe as many as 1,800 deaths. We've had at least 13,000 serious adverse events reported to bears. And I actually have the raw.
Now, there you go. Those are some numbers that you're not going to hear right now. But in the clips that I'm going to be playing, they tell you where to go to find it. Now, it seems a little cumbersome, but if you really want to get an accurate reading of what the numbers are, they'll explain it in the next couple of clips that I'm going to be playing. But of course, it's not what, I don't hear it Fox or CNN or even Newsmax, if you're a conservative or whatever, saying what the actual numbers are. So what I'm saying is, if you're really worried about it, make the effort to figure it out. But, yeah.
Fetal tissue cell lines in the actual... out there, where can they go to prove what you just said?
It's hhs.theirs.gov. So it's hhs.v as in victory, A as in apple, E as in Edward, R as in Robert, S as in Sam.gov. hhs.theirs.gov. That is the vaccine adverse event reporting system that has been in place since 1987. and captures, and anybody, it's a passive reporting system. And that's the reason why it gets poo-pooed by so many people, because it's a passive reporting system, meaning that if you got a shot, any one of the vaccines, and it made you sick, you could go and file a report with theirs. So
now, when they're gonna correct themselves in a few minutes, but she kind of had it backwards. So take in mind that it's backwards. It starts with the V, and well, you'll hear it. You'll hear it.
And downplay it all the time, because they try to do every possible thing they can to disconnect the shot from the side effect. Oh, and downplay it. When I first started doing this research back in September of 2000 and started speaking out and doing seminars and talks all over the world on problems associated with vaccine, there were about 8,000 adverse events reported per year. Now they say there's somewhere between 30 and 35,000 adverse events reported. And again, it's been estimated that that captures about 10% of actual adverse events.
Now, I don't want to be the rude guy. I just want to make sure that we get this. If we go to VAERS, VAERS.hhs.gov,
Wait. It's hhs.vaers.gov.
.vaers.gov. Okay. So I'm going there right now. hhs.vaers.gov. I must be typing in something wrong, because I want to go there. I want to see it. VAERS.gov. What am I typing in wrong? I know you can't.
Oh, wait a minute. You were right.
Am I correct?
I said it backwards.
No problem.
My problem. My bad. It's VAERS.hhs.gov.
Now, once I'm there, how do I see the information that you're referencing for the average person who's trying to figure out?
For the average person, it's become very difficult.
Got it.
It used to be that you could just go in and type in like MMR or chickenpox or something like that. And you have to, and then you can, all the things that would, all the adverse events would come up. Now you have to go through, and you actually have to read their interpretation guides and figure out how to download their data sets.
Got it. Okay. But it's right there. And for the persistent listener, they can find it there. Now, I want to make sure the listeners understand this. Everybody, Google this with me. Please do not believe me. Please do not believe me. We're going to type in Jeffrey Epstein. Everybody type in Jeffrey Epstein. Okay. And creates own race of people. Everybody, Jeffrey Epstein creates own race of people. Go ahead, folks. I'll wait. Everybody type it into Google. Do not make this a non-interactive show here. Type.
Now, of course, he's just going into details of, you know, Epstein's baby farm or whatever he was trying to do when he was trying to make, I don't know, if clones of him or just babies of his genetic genome. But like I said, go check out this podcast, because there's a lot of good stuff.
There's an intermediate step. The messenger RNA has to make a protein. That protein then goes and modifies your DNA. But so they can get away with these little manipulative sayings. But I'll tell you what, here's the other thing. I have mapped out at least 7 different mechanisms of action on how this antibody that, you know, because the whole purpose of a vaccination in terms of the pro-vaccine people is we inject foreign matter into your body.
Yep.
And that foreign matter is supposed to generate an antibody that is supposed to keep you from getting sick. That's the premise.
That's the premise.
That's the premise of vaccination.
Got it.
So with this messenger RNA, this experimental technology that also has ingredients in it that have never been used before in human beings, ever, ever, ever.
Ever.
In terms of any vaccine that we've ever previously had, the antibody that's created is an abnormal antibody. It's called a non-neutralizing antibody. It has a lot of abnormal properties. And I've mapped out, through reading the medical literature, imagine that, if somebody actually reads the published studies.
What?
I know, imagine that, of at least 7 different pathways on how that antibody is going to make people sick, cause them to have an accelerated autoimmune disease, and many of those people, particularly ones with comorbidities, are probably going to die.
Now, again, I want to make sure I give you the mic to share this final, because I'm trying to keep this short and quippy and to the point, because we're in that microwave world, but we do need to slow it down a little bit and to research. We have to slow it down a little bit. So what I'm going to do, folks, are blocking my ability to text this information to you. So if you will email the following email address, theclayclark@protonmail.com. Please do not email me a question. Please do not email me an epiphany. Please don't email me a comment because I'm not going to respond to it. I'm just going to send you all of the show notes. It's all there for you. If you just email theclayclark@protonmail.com, I'm going to send you all of the facts related to what's in the vaccines, related to who made the vaccines, related to all of the gene modification technology. It's all cited there.
Now, make sure to go check that out for your own research and do your own due diligence. Don't follow what I'm saying or what I'm playing or what they're saying on the television or your officials. All right, because this is all together.
Wait, just wait. We've fast-tracked this to market. We've only been injecting people for 2 months. We're just now getting ready to do round two of all these things, which there's no science anywhere to show that we need to have two doses of this.
It's crazy.
None. They just made it up. But just wait and watch and see what happens to some of these people. Because we went from 70% of people early on, like March and April of 2020, 70% of people that said, yes, I definitely want the vaccine, to now only 43% are saying, yeah, I'm going to get it. And most people are saying, I might get it, but I think I'm just going to wait. At the very, very least, please just wait. Because what we're going to start seeing in the next several months, will make your mind up definitively to just say no.
And if you have not yet seen this, folks, go to rumble.com and just do a search for COVID-19 vaccine reactions.
I've seen it.
COVID-19 side effects. And you see real people.
Very messed up.
Real people with Bell's palsy from the vaccine. Real people with real issues as a result of the vaccine. It is mind-boggling. And I would encourage you to watch that and say, you know what? This virus is treatable with safely treatable with ivermectin and budesonide. It's $237.
It's prevented with adequate levels of vitamin D as in dog.
Right.
If your vitamin D level is above 30, if you're taking vitamin C, zinc, quercetin, you can even take ivermectin preventively. I got a paper this morning that was dated January the 29th, so it's just hot off the presses, that said on the global basis, when you look at the actual survival rate is 99.91%.
Did you guys hear that? 95-something? What? You can survive this, guys. You don't need to worry about this.
That's crazy.
And the death rate and all of the deaths that ostensibly are caused by this virus, the 450,000 people, most of it's fabricated data. We think less than 6% deaths were actually caused by the virus, not associated with it. And we also know that people who recover, they do quite well. And so all the deaths fell off the chart a long time ago. This paper I got this morning, Clay, actually was saying that all of these positive tests, more and more positive tests, how that keeps going up and up and up, is proof of herd immunity. Proof of herd immunity. That people have been exposed to all these coronaviruses. They got a little trace of it left in their system.
Yep.
They're not sick.
Yep.
And it means that they are immune.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know this. The mainstream media and mainstream doctors for years told everybody that smoking wasn't bad.
That's a good point.
The mainstream media, remember this, folks, the mainstream media and mainstream doctors told people for years smoking wasn't bad. Okay.
Now, that's a good point that he said. We all try to follow what the media is. This is why I never watch TV. It's just now recently that I've been watching the news, thinking that some of the news, networks are non-biased with just facts. But, some of them are a little bit biased. Even the ones that you consider to be factual have some bias to them. But this information should be out there in the front of all those networks.
Might die from COVID-19. There were models that were produced by the Abdul Latif Jameel Institute that were funded by Bill and Melinda Gates and Amazon. And these models that were made by the Abdul Latif Jameel Institute said that 2.2 million people might die from COVID-19. 19. That's where the fear started.
Yes.
Then it turned out those models were wrong by 25 times. We all know that.
And they admitted this.
They admitted this.
Yes.
And then we were told, well, we need to continue the lockdowns, the unconstitutional lockdowns, the unconstitutional mask mandates, the unconstitutional shuttering of schools, the unconstitutional infringement upon your First Amendment rights because of the cases.
Yes,
cases. Stairs, do you know anybody who's told you, but Clay, you got to look at the cases. Has anybody ever used that argument to justify to you what's going on in America?
Yes. Well, that's what people are afraid of. There's so many people getting it.
The cases.
So many people getting it. The cases. So many cases.
So logically, just logically, not medically, just logically, if we had a massive number of cases of a super deadly virus, we should then have a massive number of deaths. But we're not seeing that. So
Dr.
Marsh,
that would be logical.
So Dr. Marsh, tell us, are these PCR tests, these COVID-19 tests, falsely calibrated? And if they are falsely calibrated, what setting should they be on and what setting are they at?
So if you a PCR test looks at a DNA, so it's amplifying a DNA. So one cycle is to amplify it one time. So we should be seeing these around 17 or 20 times. And if you talk to most labs, they're 36 to 40 times. And if you get a response back, oftentimes they'll say it's proprietary rights, meaning that we're not going to answer that question.
Yeah.
So again, the PCR test should be set at 17 amplifications, and they are set to be at 40 amplifications or 35 amplifications. So it would be like your speedometer is telling you you're driving 400 miles an hour when you are, in fact, driving 7 miles an hour. Is that correct, sir?
That's about right.
Okay, so so if we just lowered the settings down to 17 cycles, then the pandemic would be over. Really, we have like a PCR-demic is how I would describe it. Would you agree with that?
I'd agree with that. Fear-demic.
A fear-demic, okay.
Fear-demic.
So again, so the models were wrong. The PCR tests were wrong. And now we're being told we need to take this vaccine. I want to get into, is it a vaccine? What is in it? And so I have taken the time for our listeners, and if they will email, they will send an email right now to theclayclark@protonmail.com, theclayclark@protonmail.com. I'm going to send them the ingredients of what's in the COVID-19 vaccines.
Nice.
But I'd like to get your take on these. Are these vaccines? Are these a gene modification technology? What is going on? What is inside the COVID-19 vaccines?
So it's the technology uses an enzyme that creates what's called an mRNA. So first of all, you have to understand it's from a aborted fetus, right? So we took a 15-week-old male baby.
And they go into the great detail, the same thing that, was said before. So these are the type of doctors that are out there that are being silenced. And maybe even some politicians that know the information, but they're being silenced. Or your everyday person like me on Twitter putting out information that, people might not even click on or look at. But for anybody that's listening to this, share it to somebody that's a little paranoid about this whole situation. Don't let this, this guy, Gates, or whoever's running the show, force you to do something that you feel in your heart that you don't want to do. Because I don't.
Never made it through an animal study successfully for this type of virus. We have never done this in humans before.
And these are just more doctors.
Maybe the Chinese have, and I'll talk about that in a second. But that's why we don't really have a track record of success. This vaccine was rolled out to distribution centers before they even made a show of caring about the FDA approving it. Do you realize that? I mean, it went out to for distribution. I know in Nebraska, it was in the distribution center within days before they even said they were going to approve it. What?
Do you get the sense that medicine is being weaponized against our freedom and that this coronavirus is being used to trample our rights? Well, you're not alone. Today, we have a very special guest with us. Her name is Dr. Lee Merritt, and she's got a bio that I could spend all half an hour on her bio. I'll just kind of go through it real quick. She started her medical career at age 4, doing house calls with her father. She's a lifelong member of the Alpha Omega Alpha Honor Medical Society. She's the past president of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, which is a wonderful, wonderful group of doctors. She's a former board member of the Arizona Medical Association. And this bio is just incredible. Classically trained physician, got her medical degree from the University of Rochester School of Medicine and Dentistry. She was an orthopedic spinal surgeon for 27 years, studied bioweapons, did her internship at the National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland, in internal medicine. And then she did a residency in orthopedic surgery at San Diego Naval Medical Center. She spent 10 years as a military surgeon. All over the place. She was awarded the Lewis Goldstein Fellowship in Spinal Surgery, the only woman to have ever received that. And just incredible bio. She's been a speaker at Doctors for Disaster Preparedness, a wonderful conference, if you're not familiar with it. And she is something of a free thinker. And so Dr. Merritt, thank you so much for agreeing to be with us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been an exciting week. I was in Washington, D.C. before this.
Oh, wow. I bet that was exciting. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts on this COVID and how it seems like it's just the perfect excuse to take our rides, shut down our businesses, destroy our economy, overrule our personal bodily integrity. Now they're saying maybe we're going to have mandatory vaccines. What are your thoughts on this COVID? Is the virus, does it really justify the level of hysteria we've seen and the massive expansion of government power that we've seen?
Well, the simple answer is no, it does not. And, you know, when I gave my talk in August at the Doctors for Disaster Preparedness, the talk was SARS-CoV-2 and the Rise of Medical Technocracy. Now, I had been asked to talk, and I had come up with an idea years before that. Literally, I'd started thinking about a talk for them over the couple of years because I go to the meetings periodically. And my talk was on the weaponization of medicine. The problem is, by the time I actually was ready to give the talk, I had to change things so rapidly because they did it. They did kind of what I thought, you know, and I really do believe we're at war. We're in an unconventional, unrestricted war. The kind that the military Chinese generals talked about 30 years ago. And I'm not saying this is just coming from China, but that's the proximate militarization of this. And my thought before all this happened, when I was just theoretically thinking about this, was, you know, warfare has changed over time. You know, we started just hitting each other over with clubs, and then we went to set piece battles. And then we went to, you know, we as Americans, we kind of pioneered guerrilla warfare, shooting behind trees, and the British thought that was unsportsmanlike, and on and on. But in our lifetime, what I call military, conflict 4.0, and I made this up before I ever even heard people now talking about fifth generation warfare, but that's really what we're talking about. 4.0 was when we were fighting, say, ISIS or Al-Qaeda, and you knew maybe who the enemy was by the Geneva Convention. They appeared like a standing army. They had uniforms. They had training. They used, you know, group tactics and things. But you really weren't 100% sure who the enemy was because you didn't know who was funding them, who was sending them weapons, who was really doing the training. So it was plausible deniability. But what if you could take it the next step further? So what I've called, and what I've learned actually some other people call, warfare 5.0. What if you had a weapon that was so stealth that not only did you not know who the enemy was, you didn't even know you were being attacked. So it looked like nature. Okay. And that's really what we're in here, in my opinion, is that kind of scenario. So what they've done, and this is again my thinking about this, I didn't read this anywhere, but I know about how this thing came about. One of the things I learned, and I actually learned from I figured this out, but then I was confirmed by a Taiwanese engineer on an airplane I was on one night. And he said that they don't listen. The reason they didn't get hit badly with this virus, they figured it out right away, is that they don't listen to what the Chinese Communist Party propaganda, their news, listen. They don't listen to them. What they do is they have a whole department that screens their social media. And when they see something get censored, they start looking at it, that must be the truth. Now, that's something that we should start appreciating here in America today.
Wow.
Now she brings up a good point. Things that are being censored might be the truth. Especially the things that are being censored out all over the place now, whether it be political or scientific, is something to be looking into.
But so I'm going to tell you, I believed early on in February that this was a biologically manipulated bioweapon, because the minute that anybody popped up with data suggesting that, they were censored. You know, the old military air the pilot dictum that when you're catching flak, you're over the target. So I believe that. And I think there's a, I you know, we don't have time to go into it, but I think there's a host of evidence that shows coronavirus is a naturally occurring, very benign virus that doesn't even give most people the cold, but at the most, it gives you a common cold, right? Doesn't kill you, doesn't make you very sick. But what they've done is it's the transmission device. So think about how we were years ago. When we first came into the nuclear age, we couldn't easily distribute nuclear weapons. We had to drop them from onto the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So we just had to take them in a plane. But now we have, the hard part is actually the guidance missile, the guidance missile technology. So in bioweapons, what we had is we had a lot of bioweapons over the years. And the one I was very worried about was smallpox. But some of these, most of these bioweapons were either hard to distribute or there was treatment for them or something. And the problem here is distribution. So here, like, you know, remember the anthrax thing? It came out in the envelopes. It went to Congress. It's hard to distribute anthrax. It might be deadly to some people, but it's hard to distribute. So let's make a missile. And the missile is coronavirus, which is a huge, highly transmissible, very small particle virus. It can't be masked away no matter what the propaganda is. You can't hide from it behind a plastic little screen that costs businesses too much money. It's just incredibly transmissible, but it's very benign. Now add to that the warhead. And the warhead is a little protein that they tacked on that attaches to your ACE2 pathway. And human beings have these ACE2 pathways that's somewhat genetically determined. And when you put on this hook, this what they call the spike protein, then it gets into these ACE2 pathways, which now is in your heart, in your lungs, in your testicle, in your brain. It can kill you. Now, I believe what happened here is that whether, and we can argue, I kind of think it was let out purposely, but I can't prove that. It was either accidentally released or it was let out purposely, but whatever it happened. When it first came out, like many viruses, I believe that it was worse. The first generation was more deadly, okay? So that it came out, it did kill a lot of people in Wuhan. It did kill people in Lombardy. I tell people, you know, there's a problem when doctors are dying, and doctors and nurses in Lombardy were dying. If we can't save ourselves, we're in trouble. That's the time to go to your basement. It does help to go to your basement, but you can't then go out to have a beer or go out and go to the grocery store. That's just shutting down people's business for economic warfare. But real isolation, like against smallpox, works. So anyway, it first came out to Lombardy. It went to New York. That was probably first generation virus. And it did kill a bunch of people initially. But just like most viruses, almost all viruses that I know of, you know, as they pass through the human host, they get weaker. This is just a, you know, adaptive advantage. If you're the Napoleon of viruses and you want to take over the world, you don't want to kill every host you come across. You're not going to spread. So what you do is you become less deadly, more transmissible. And that's what this has done over time. That's my belief about the big picture here. But
so there's just plenty more where that came from, guys. I just wanted to make sure I give you guys a snippet. The links to the full interviews and full clips and full videos are in the description box below. But this is just, you know, a handful of this information that a lot of people are not really paying attention to. So sorry, this was a heavy clip episode, but I feel it's information that needs to go out in any way, shape, or form. So please leave a comment below, hit that follow button, leave me a review. You can find me live on Podbeam every morning, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Having trouble getting online recently because of Wi-Fi issues and bad weather. But make sure to follow me on Podbeam. Affiliate links are on the description box below. If you guys want to start your own, you can let me know or you know, find me on Discord and all that jazz, all right? But everybody, thank you for joining. This is a short little episode just to show you guys that there are other information out there, not what you're listening to on TV. Stop watching TV too.
The most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Sup, this is Mr. Steels. And when I drink my coffee in the morning, I listen to the Ralph William podcast.